It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. From books like The End of Men to statistics that tell us there are more educated women in the workforce than men, it's tempting to think women might be doing more than catching up. They might be running the show.
But our guest today says statistics and impressions like that mask the truth about what's going on out there. And in fact, women are earning less, struggling harder, and achieving less than their male counterparts today.
Our next guest teaches journalism at the Women's Studies Research Center at Brandeis University.
Carol Rivers is the co-author with Rosalind Barnett of the book The New Soft War on Women. Carol, welcome to Central Time.
I'm glad to be here. By the way, I'm at Boston University. By the way, my co-author is at Brandeis.
I see. Okay. Sorry about that. Boston University. Well, It seems like we're at a pretty confused place about where women are right now. On the one hand, you've got the book The End of Men, proclaiming the ascendance of women and the decline of men. But then on the other hand, you've got someone like Anne-Marie Slaughter writing about how the truth is women can't have it all. She gave up a high-powered job in Washington. So why all the confusion? Where are we really?
Well, I think The End of Men was really nonsense. It's true that women are earning more advanced degrees than men, but it's the opposite picture in the workplace. In fact, women are stalling out. In the last few years, while men gained 800 jobs after having a tough time in the economic crisis, women lost close to 300,000 jobs. And that women are fast disappearing from boardrooms and executive suites. And the CEO of the think tank Catalyst says if this trend line represented a patient's pulse, she'd be dead. And the truth is that women are fast becoming the real losers in the economy. And all this stuff about the end of men is just that there's really no statistics to back it up.
So what changed then? It seemed as though we were making some advances, you know, especially in the 80s and 90s in terms of wage equality. We are hearing that greater numbers of women are getting advanced degrees than men. That would seem to indicate that women should be doing okay. So what happened?
Well, what seems to be happening from new research is that gender discrimination hasn't vanished, but it's gone underground. You don't have that sort of in-your-face discrimination anymore. But the old ideas about gender and what women can or can't do are just as strong as ever. In fact, they're gaining in strength, except we often don't recognize it, and that makes it more dangerous.
So, but we've got all these educated, assumingly motivated women out there in the workforce. So you're saying they aren't climbing to the status, these heights of pay and leadership that we might expect because there is under-the-radar gender discrimination?
Yes, lots of it. And in fact, it's a surprise, I think, to a lot of people who'd assume that all these women in the pipeline, there's a lot of them in the pipeline, they get to certain points along the way and they just get stalled out. They don't move because they're facing issues that men just simply don't face. For example, when men and women work in teams, there's new research that shows men automatically get the credit. That even if women did all the work, knew all the stuff, and the man was just peripheral, again and again, women told us, you know, I was the one who did the work, and when we went to report, they all talked to the guys, and the guys got the credit, and the guys got the promotion, and he went ahead, and I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, how do you counter something like that? Because if it's just sort of something that's happening organically, what can a woman do?
Well, I think the one thing that's really clear is that women have to speak up and take credit. You know, if you've been working on a team and you did all the work and you see that the guy's getting the credit, you really have to go to the board, your superiors, your boss, and whoever, and say, look, you know, this is what I did, and I need to get the credit for this because it's not fair that somebody who didn't do the work is getting the credit. But women sometimes are reluctant. They think it's bragging. They think they shouldn't do that. But it's really clear that it's essential that women have to speak up because when men and women walk through the door, the men get the advantage of the male stereotype. He's forceful. He's hard-driving. And a woman walks through the door, there's the female stereotype. She's passive. She's not so aggressive. She can't lead. And those things really are still very deep in our culture.
You know, but I'm imagining doing that, you know, and saying, really, this was all my idea, and I know this just as well as, you know, the other guy here. And, you know, you could be seen as power hungry or grabby there instead. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, there is a lot of research showing that when men are forceful and they're successful, they're viewed as competent and as good leaders. When women are forceful, they are viewed as being bossy and not being liked. And in fact, it's one of the things that Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote the book Lean In, who's the CEO of Facebook, says is that, you know, I've heard this, I've heard I'm bossy, I've heard I'm just know too much, I shouldn't talk so much. And she says that this is a huge issue for women when they start to make progress, that men are just viewed very differently in this arena.
I mean, what's so hard about what you're describing is that, you know, you're talking about behaviors that are really difficult to pull off sometimes for women and maybe for anybody. I mean, in Sheryl Sandberg's book, she sort of said that women were doing their own damage. They were holding themselves back, and that sort of seems to blame the women themselves. I mean, do you buy that line of thinking?
In some cases, they do. I think that sometimes women just feel that it's too risky to speak up and be seen as, you know, not likable, and it's pretty painful when people don't like you. But if you've got the choice between risking being disliked but getting what your due is, and or being quiet, and really there's a big danger of getting passed over because you will be, you probably have to take the risk of speaking up. But this is a problem that men simply don't have. So there's a lot of cases where women just have obstacles to climb that men don't. It's not so much that men are standing up there saying, oh, you women, you can't do it, you know, you shouldn't be here. It's that all these things that we sort of have in our heads are influencing our decisions. And women, as often as men, have these things. Women are just as likely as men to dislike a woman who's successful.
What do you make about that?
I think that's because we have this idea that women are supposed to be nice and women are supposed to be caring. And that's a prescription that if you seem to violate that by achieving and being successful, there's something wrong. That skews our way of the way things should be. But it's a real problem for women.
Now, you're talking about, you know, the ways that women can try to get back in the game and try to fight for what is their due. And, you know, in a summary, maybe it's Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, but, you know, couldn't you argue that, you know, instead of women leaning in, we should be leaning on the men instead, and then making other people in society accountable for holding women back?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is true that Sheryl Sandberg does say that, too. She talked about a case where a Facebook woman got a review as being too aggressive, but the manager, instead of just passing this on, went back to the people who gave that feedback and said, sort of point blank, if this was a man, would you have said this person was too aggressive? And they said, you know, we wouldn't. So I think that we really need to get, you know, light on this. We have to get people to understand, hey, this is how you're thinking. You know, subconsciously, you're not trying to discriminate, but realize this stuff is out there, and the only way we're going to change it if we talk about it and think about it and try and sort of work together to find ways to change it.
You know, one thing that feminists today are trying to do is to prove that, you know, women's issues aren't really women's issues. They're men's issues. They're family issues. They're for everybody. How would you say that the problems you're describing and the stalling out of women in the workplace are affecting men and families?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things we see is that when women's wages go down, when women don't move up and they get stuck, what often happens is that their spouses or partners are also harmed because, you know, it's not a great economy and men's wages have also been stagnant and declining. So if a man finds his wife is, you know, not bringing in as much as she could have, that affects his, he may, you know, the whole family may slip out of the middle class. And that's a real problem. And we also know that men today want to do more childcare. But if there's no programs, if there's no paternity leave, no flexibility, none of that, then it's hard for both sexes to, you know, to be good workers and to also be good parents. So I think it is true that these childcare issues are both men's and women's issues. It's not just a woman's issue.
We're talking right now to Carol Rivers, a professor of journalism at Boston University and the co-author of The New Soft War on Women. And we'll be back with her in just a bit.
And we want to hear from you right now. Are we telling your story at the workplace here? Do you think women's progress at work and in the arena of social equality, do you think those have stalled? And if so, why? And do you have a solution? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll be getting your calls in just a minute. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back now with Carol Rivers. She's a professor of journalism at Boston University and co-author of The New Soft War on Women. And we're taking your calls now. Is this something you see in your own life? Has women's progress stalled out? And if so, why do you think that is? Have you seen in your own life some of the instances that Carol was talking about earlier? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or let us know what you think on our Facebook page. And let's go to the phones right now and take David in Wausau. Hi, David.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to give a quick perspective from my wife, who's not home right now, but she's a manager at a larger regional bank in central Wisconsin. And in fact, she's never described this as being a problem. She herself is a manager. The lower level managers, there's a couple that are underneath her, so to speak, and a couple that are above her. She has no men that are managers. So her operations there, and it's a very large operation, there's no men in management. It's all women. So I just wanted to say from her own perspective, she said this is never a problem because her industry, at least her company, is dominated by women.
Interesting. All right. Thank you for calling in with that, David. And Carol, I'm hearing a little bit echoes of Hannah Rosen, who's saying women succeed in these higher level positions better than men because they have more emotional intelligence. I don't know if that's the case at David's wife's bank, but what do you think about a situation like that?
There's really no evidence that women have better emotional intelligence than men. All the research, when you look at it, just says that both men and women are very equal in that arena. Sure, some women are better and some men are more, but it's just simply hogwash that women have this wonderful ability to communicate that men don't have. It's not true. And it's interesting that there's if you're in an arena where everybody's a manager, then you certainly don't have as much of this gender issues. But one thing is emerging that's kind of interesting, and that is there's something called the glass escalator. And we're now seeing that in female dominated industries, when a man does come into that industry, he's promoted faster and goes up the ladder quicker than women do, which is kind of a surprise.
And that's because he's seen as special, or how would you, what would you attribute that to?
Yeah, he's seen as special. He's seen as more capacity for leadership. And it's really strange because the people in many cases who are promoting the men faster are women. So there's a case where, you know, women are looking at this guy and they're seeing something better than they may be seeing as the woman who's the candidate for the same job.
Where are women's wages right now, and where are they as compared to their male counterparts? We've said it's stalled out, but do you have a sense of what those numbers are?
Yeah, I do. I do have some numbers. In fact, we haven't moved much since JFK signed the Equal Pay Act back in the 1960s, and you see that, for example, over a lifetime of work, women with a bachelor's degree will earn a third less, $700,000, than a man with the same degree. Female MBAs earn nearly $5,000 less than male MBAs in their first job. And again, in another study showing that 2 years out of school, a man will be making with the same degree and the same number of hours worked in the same field, the man will be working, will be getting $9,000 more than the woman. So there's tons of evidence showing that the wage gap is really a big problem and it's not moving.
Can we legislate it away?
Well, I think, you know, that we certainly can try. There is legislation, and sometimes it gets stalled out for, you know, equal pay for equal work, but it takes a long time. Look at the Lilly Ledbetter case, which finally the woman who sued because she was paid so much less, it took her something like 9 years before the legislation was actually passed. So we're not looking as hard as we should at that, and we really need to.
Let's go back to the phones now. We have Samantha joining us from Argyle. Hey, Samantha.
Hi there.
What do you think?
Hi.
On your show, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I don't know if this is as much applicable, but I've noticed in my own field, I'm a dairy farmer, and typically, when I was in school to become a dairy farmer, the population of women, although it's coming up in this occupation, is relatively small. And I found the first year I was married to my husband, on my taxes, it automatically went to farm wife as opposed to dairy farmer. And my husband's occupation says dairy farmer. So I found it to be, well, I don't know, a little bit disturbing when even the government is looking at me with quite a different perspective than I guess I had envisioned for my career.
Yeah, that's
some of those old ideas. You know, it used to be that if you were a woman, you couldn't get a credit card in your own name. It had to be in your husband's name. And a lot of those things are gone, but some of them still hang around and pop up when you least expect them.
How interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Samantha, and thank you for calling. And on to Tessa in the Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Tessa.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Great.
I'm a truck driver. I've been a truck driver for almost 20 years now. And when I first started, I never saw any other women out here, you know, that were solo drivers. But there's getting to be more out here. It's very nice. But my husband's a roofer. And in the off season, he'll come with me, you know, on the road. And no matter where we go, any warehouse, any receiving department, I'll say, hey, watch this. And we'll walk in together, and I'm holding the bills and the paperwork, and they go right to him. Mm-hmm. Every single time, they'll go right to him. And he'll chuckle and say, no, no, I'm a roofer. She's the driver. But it's just the perception even now, you know, the people, oh, you drive that big truck. Well, yeah, the truck doesn't realize I'm a woman, so it's cool.
Well, you know, and that's the exact example of the idea that when the man walks in the door, if people see him in one way and a woman walks in the door, even if she's holding the bills and says, I'm the truck driver, they view her in another way and they think, no, it's the guy that's doing it.
Okay, well, Tessa, thank you so much for calling with that. It's an interesting experience you're having there. And, Carol, what do we need to do as a society to get the needle moving on women's progress again, closing the wage gap and all that stuff?
Well, I think there's we have to be sort of go at three levels. At the first level, women have to realize that these sort of underground things are holding them back, and they have to speak up, even if it's risky. They have to, you know, make sure that people know what they're worth, and they have to not sort of hold themselves back and say, oh, gee, can I really do that because I'm a woman? And they see men doing it, they think, oh, that's for guys. So I think if women are aware these things are out there, that'll help. But we also clearly need federal policies, and we certainly need, you know, family policies. We're so far behind the rest of the world, don't have any kind of decent maternity leave, paternity leave. We're like, you know, everywhere else in the developed world, there's a really good system of childcare, so that when fathers and mothers are working, as most do, they're not frantic all the time about who's going to be there to pick up the kids. And certainly this would make a huge difference if we had these changes in policies for both men and women.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted.
We've been talking to Carol Rivers, a professor of journalism at Boston University, co-author of the book The New Soft War on Women with Rosalind Barnett.